What if this guy and...
You remember the name of the bassist?
Yes.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, come on.
What, John Ritchie?
Close. Richie's
Brian
right.
Richie.
Yeah. Oh, Brian Ritchie.
Every time I play this, he brings that up.
Oh, Brian Ritchie.
And every time you don't remember.
I don't remember.
He's such an amazing bassist. The Violent Femmes hit that bassist. Just listen to...
Sure.
Listen to every song that they've got. I mean, the bass is what drives it. It's amazing.
You know,
and and he's on this an acoustic bass a lot of the
time. John, when you talk about the bass, I don't even know what that means.
Really?
You mean a bass? It's bass guitar? Or
I know it's something to do with the sound that's not the vocals.
It's
but
lower.
Come on. Is this
lower.
A joke?
Being honest.
Oh, my God. I thought, you know, like a bass with this...
I know
sometimes
people will play
strings
like
in a
upright
guitar.
Bass.
I know the ace of bass.
Bum 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 bum. Like
I would assume it's that type of thing.
Wow,
but
this
I can't
is
tell
unbelievable.
You,
yeah,
you
honestly,
you're
I'm
just
like
not
floored.
Familiar
have you
with
never seen people
guitar.
Play music in person? Like I'm
I
so
have.
Confused right
what
now.
What do I care about in the end? What do I care about?
Yeah, hold but it doesn't mean you don't know. Is it a good song? I get that, but that doesn't mean you can't know what an instrument is. This is crazy.
An instrument.
Like, do you know what a stand-up bass is? Have you ever seen like a slap in the bass? Does any of this mean anything to you?
The thing.
Really? No? Oh my God, this is great. I'm like,
I talked to Jimmy
I'm floored right now.
This morning. Hey, did I do this fact? Hey,
yep.
On Prince's first album,
sure.
He played 27 different instruments.
Yep.
And he said, yeah, you have done that fact before. But Joe doesn't appreciate that.
No, no.
He can't possibly appreciate
even
that.
Know what instruments are, apparently.
Right. He doesn't even know what a bass guitar is.
Not myself.
He doesn't understand how amazing it is that Prince played 27 different instruments.
Yeah, you know. Again,
but the bass guitar is like one of the main ones. Okay. Normally, if you've got a trio, which is like as much as you boil it down, usually you got the drums in the back with the bass, and that's the rhythm section. Mm-hmm. The bass guitar.
I
and then you've got the
I'll try
guitar.
To learn. I got you.
And the singer.
I'll try to learn, or I won't. Here's what I have learned. When will be a training camp? I have the dates in front of me, John. So let me announce to everyone listening what's going on with us in training camp. 6 shows over the next 2.5 weeks, which is awesome. And you know the key with these shows is we have access to interview players and sometimes coaches, and to try to bring you the best content possible. So here is when we will be at training camp doing our show. Tomorrow and Thursday, the Monday and Tuesday of next week, the Monday and Tuesday of the following week. 6 shows. Midday show will also be out there. Obviously coincides with when the Eagles practice, and we look forward to it. So tomorrow and Thursday this week is what you want to know. We'll try to get you some great interviews. Great interviews. That's the hope. And our expectation, we'll have some fun with it, which will be great. And John Ritchie doesn't have to go out there and hit anyone, which he kind of likes doing, but he also kind of likes not getting hit anymore. So,
cuts
both ways.
I truly am looking forward to it. You know, last year I met Alicia at training camp.
That is.
So I hit on Alicia.
That's a flummoxing comment.
Yeah, it is a flummoxing
comment. I mean, that's the best in show fact we've ever had.
Yeah, I met Alicia.
You met the love of your life during one of our programs.
I did.
Was it during
or
before or after?
It was after.
Okay, so
introduced myself.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, yeah, that's cool. I got to go interview Jalen Carter. See ya.
I'm out of here. Yeah. Out of here. All right, good work, man. By the way, let me push back on one narrative I saw online. You know, I don't normally respond to much that comes on social media, like even on the air. I got to respond to this guy. But I just wanted to on air. So David Robertson, you know, yesterday we were pretty pumped up about the Phillies getting David Robertson. And there was a guy on Twitter, or maybe a gal, the name's Patty, so I guess that's a gal, tweets the following. I'm having trouble understanding the hype around signing a reliever who wasn't even on an MLB roster. All right, if you weren't like paying attention to the situation, that's a reasonable tweet. Like I remember when the Eagles signed...
Shaq Leonard,
and I was skeptical, right? Like, I don't know about this.
Rightly so.
Rightfully so.
Right. Yeah, proven correct.
Correct. But here's where I think this person, Patty, is missing the David Robertson thing. He had a 3.00 ERA last year. And by the way, John, not in a small sample size.
Wasn't he an All-Star last year?
Well, I'll tell you this. He pitched
2 years ago.
He pitched 72 innings last year.
That he is was good.
That is a.
We faced him last
year. Yeah,
he
was very good.
He was,
yeah.
he was flummoxing.
That is a full. That is a full baseball reliever season. 72 innings and an outstanding ERA 3.0. And then you know I surmise, and it's been proven correct. He just didn't want to commit to an organization.
That's
for
clearly what it is.
Six, 7, 8 months.
The answer to Patty's question is that right
listen
there.
Listen to Robertson.
He chose not to be on the roster.
Listen to Robertson yesterday. A guy made a ton of money and didn't want to be away from his family for like 8 months and knew he could, you know, parachute in near the end of the year. Makes sense. Good for him. Listen to something he said.
Well, this fall I've negotiated and talked with a lot of teams. Came very close to taking some deals and then just didn't happen. And then, you know, my wife and I were kind of at this point in life where we were like, well, maybe spend some time with the kids, hang out at home, and if you still feel the itch to go play, train, and try to get back into the league. And that's kind of why I'm here now.
Makes perfect sense. It's not that he stinks. I mean, look, we'll see. I mean, ultimately, could he fall off a cliff and become terrible? Yeah, anything's possible. But the point, I mean, guys, he's getting paid $5.5 million for 2 months from the Phillies. That tells you the world thinks he's a good pitcher still. I mean, he's getting paid $5.5 million for 2.5 months.
It's also the money they just had left over because it's the money they got. They got like close to $5 million back from Alvarado's suspension.
Oh,
they didn't have to pay him, and they just reproportioned that to David Robertson.
I didn't realize
that either.
Holy cow!
All right, so it's a good move. I mean,
that
I'm not saying he's Mariano Rivera, but he can help them. Let's go to the phones.
Sure.
Tom, right now. Tom, good morning.
Yo, Joe, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Tom.
Hey, man, it's finally here. You know, I mean, I've been alive for all the championships, and that Flyers back-to-back, I was 8, 9 years old, and I remember more about them two teams than I could tell you what happened last year. But, you know, with the Eagles as young as they are, the division, all three teams have gotten older, you know, and Gene and Mitchell, those guys are coming into their second year. You know they're going to be comfortable. They won a Super Bowl, and just, you know, and Campbell, I think they had a good draft. And Hurts, the pressure's off. I mean, he's still got pressure, but the pressure's off. He should really excel here. And Saquon Barkley, man. Saquon Barkley is why I'm excited, because he's the reason we won, ultimately, last year.
Yeah, I think him and the defense were the two biggest. He was the best player on the team. And listen, Tom, we also know we're not going to get him at this level forever.
Right.
So, you know, you want to really, you know,
but you
really wring everything you can out of these next 2 to 3 years
yeah.
from him. You know,
you could get.
You could.
Look,
you
last
could.
Year happened for a reason, lots of reasons, that offensive, however you want to count that out, 7 different reasons. Those guys up front and the quarterback who was making the calls every play. This is sustainable. You know, that success is not going anywhere as long as people stay healthy.
But we also do know this, Tom, for what it's worth, and I think it's worth a lot. It's really hard to repeat. And you
it'll
know,
be harder.
It's a tough challenge
against the run and say, hey, see what you can do now. And as long as we can beat them over the top, man. It's just going to continue.
But, Tom, a concern has to be the defense. Not to say they'll be bad, because I don't think they'll be bad, but I feel like 1,000% confident they won't be as good.
Well, and then you know, I think that the Eagles, if they could, they need that sack the quarterback more this year. If Campbell could get in there, and then Carter, and Carter really is the key here. I mean, he is the nucleus here. If he could get free, he hasn't even learned to play the position according to the.
Well, listen, Jalen Carter, Tom, and I used to say this about Fletcher Cox, Prime Cox, and I'll say it about Prime. I don't know if he's Prime Carter, but Carter now. I always used to say Fletcher Cox's job was not defensive tackle. His job was to dominate. That was his job. He was being paid $100 million to dominate. Jalen Carter, his job is to dominate. That's his job now. And he can do it. Tom, give me a big answer, buddy, for something weird in the, you know, unique, weird thing from sports.
Well, this was weird, unique, bizarre. It wasn't a good thing, but it was something that was really, you had two teams that were 30 miles apart, the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, yeah.
1989, that earthquake. There were scenes like Rick Russell walking off the field with his mother, Jose Canseco at a gas station filling his Maserati up with his uniform on. It was just completely, it was chaos.
It's a great answer.
It's
a tremendous answer. Game 3 of the World Series being stopped right out of the gate with the earthquake is a great answer.
I tried to get out of a
German test the next day because I said I was
didn't work.
Watching it.
Nice try.
She didn't buy it.
Did you go with emotionally scarred?
That's I was well
3,000 miles away.
I didn't have those kind of words back then. They weren't in the lexicon. I just went, I was too busy just watching the all the coverage. She's
That's
like,
great.
Yeah, nah.
That's so good. Well, good morning to you. On a Tuesday morning, beautiful day in the Delaware Valley. Awful lot going on, and a lot of it is really good. Really good. Eagles to the training camp today. Phillies won last night, and the Mets won, so it's good the Phillies kept pace. The Phillies remain a half game up. Trade deadline in about a week. So there's a lot happening here. 215-592-9494 at 7:40 today. 7:40, we'll give you multiple announcements related to me and Jack and the competition. Which
Jack Fritz here.
Yes, which is currently at 1-1 in a best of five. By the way, one thing on the negative side, because we would be very remiss if we did not mention this. This was sad news yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
Malcolm Jamal Warner passing away.
Wow.
Was that one hurt.
Tragic.
That one, well, very tragic.
Accidental drowning.
Yes.
Oh.
That one really hit me. He just always struck me as like a really good dude.
Joyful,
you know? I mean, Theo, the character was, but him, the person, you could just see it in interviews.
Yeah.
And I was really...
A great smile, too.
He did. Yeah, John, you know something? Like, look, hundreds, there's thousands of celebrity deaths through the years. Thousands. This one was one of those ones for me that was ratcheted up to a higher level. He was still young. Like he was in his 50s. Yeah, we had seen him grow up. You know, he seemed like a great guy. I always felt bad for him the last, 15 or so years and the rest of that cast that because of the whole Bill Cosby thing, it's like the whole Cosby show kind of went off the map.
Yeah, it was sort of discounted because...
It wasn't Malcolm Jamal Warner's fault.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
So I was really... That one... And to, drown in your mid-50s. Oh, that's terrible.
A family vacation in Costa Rica. I mean, that's just
It was terrible.
He was caught by a high current in the water and was discovered... Sunday afternoon.
Very, very sad news. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Elliot Short Parks, 7:50 today, joins the program as the Eagles go to training camp in just a couple of hours. To the phones, let's talk to Jeremy and Vineland. We're asking everyone what you're pumped up about with the coming Eagles season. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning. What has my intrigue more than anything is how it seems like the stock with the Eagles has gone down with the edge rusher position, and it's gone up with the linebackers, which is crazy because it seems like everybody in the league is going the opposite way. Last year, the Eagles won a Super Bowl with their lead sack guy at 8, which was Josh Sweat. They let him go. Then they signed Zach Bond to a pretty big deal, and then they draft Jahad Campbell in the first round. It's pretty crazy, man. I'm not calling the Eagles pioneers, but they're doing something unusual, and it's going to be crazy to see it all unfold.
Well, to be fair about the Campbell thing, we still don't know what position he'll play. So we still don't know.
I think it's going to evolve. I think what he plays this year might not be what he plays next year.
But we'll see. I mean, Jeremy, we don't know if he's an inside linebacker or an edge rusher. So, and of course, we also don't know when does he even take the field.
If
it's me and I'm training someone who can do both, the edge and the inside stuff, I train them inside, off ball as the inside backer, because there's so much more going on, so much more to know, so much more. You've got drops, zone drops, you've got man coverage, you've got, when you're coming off an edge, it's a lot more, straightforward what your job is. In some cases, you're setting the edge. You have to do things a little bit differently against the run, especially if you've got stunts and that sort of thing. But it is pretty straightforward. Go get the quarterback in passing situations in most cases. There might be stunts and things you need to know. But inside linebacker, holy cow, it really is. You've got everything on your plate. And it's a longer learning curve.
Yeah,
put my young player inside, develop him there as he's coming along. You keep working on the pass rush moves and things like that. That's part of what's so challenging.
So
when
I'll
you've
say
got
this.
A player who is this well balanced in terms of being able to do it all, it is challenging to develop one aspect and hold on to those other aspects My personal experience.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It is difficult. Like I lost the ability to run with the football in my hand after high school.
Because you kept blocking, right?
Because I no longer ran with, I was a blocker. I no longer had the creativity. I don't know. You just really do. Things
Some would
go
also say
the
Brian Westbrooks of the world were just better than you.
Well.
See what I just did there, James?
That's not very nice.
That's for sure.
No comment.
Jeremy, here's the one thing I disagree with John about with Campbell. I think the primary objective is just to play him where they think he'll be best. I mean, I know what John's saying is it's harder to learn inside linebackers to develop it, but I don't think that's where it starts. I think it starts with Vic Fangio projecting where will he be best, and let's play him there.
Well, check this out, Joe. Here's what's crazy. Zach Bond, right? Vic Fangio took a guy who was originally an edge rusher because he liked those types of skills and turned him into a linebacker. I see them doing the same thing with Jahad Campbell because the fact of last year, a lot of our pressure was generated from the scheme from the linebackers. If you look at the Super Bowl last year, I love our guys, Nolan Smith and Jalen Hunt. I think they're going to be great. But if you look at that position group, it was the weakest one that we had on defense. The Eagles were known last year for elite spacing, and the linebackers had a lot more to do with that than the edge rushers. So I see us doing the opposite of what the rest of the NFL is doing. They're trying to take these linebackers that have edge rushing ability.
Here's what I'm going to say, though. But, Jeremy, in relation to last year, here's the one thing I think you might be technically accurate that the edge rushers were maybe the weakest part of the various units of the defense, but they were still pretty good. I mean, they destroyed Mahomes in a Super Bowl. They destroyed him. Now, they all did. 100%.
But
I'm just saying
what did they do in the offseason, though, to try to emulate that again?
Well, they're passing the torch to the next generation.
I mean, they also have one of the best pass rushing defensive tackles in the sport.
They do.
Which changes the equation a bit in terms
Big
of a pass rush.
Yeah.
You know?
Taking two blockers.
All right, Jeremy, I totally agree, John. I need an answer from you, bud. What, like last night with that walk-off interference, what's a weird, unique thing from sports?
I don't have anything. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, he could have said Saquon jumping over someone backwards.
Oh, he could have. That would have been a good one.
I'm just saying.
I didn't take that one because I wanted to save it.
He could have said Zach Bond going from being a special teams player to being a all-pro middle linebacker.
Right.
That could have worked.
But he's like, I'm good. Gift time, ladies and gentlemen. Gift time.
Ooh.
For Mr. John Ritchie. For James Seltzer, for Reed Hughes.
Look at this.
I can, for the first time, hold up.
Yes!
I'm holding up for the YouTube folks, holding up my book. So the book was delivered to me, I believe it was 2 days ago. And it's entitled The Best of Philly Sports, Amazing Moments and Stories in Philadelphia Sports History. It is primarily intended for kids, but I am certain will appeal to adults as well. At least I think it will. That's up to you. But let me hand it out to the gang. And
is it autographs?
Wow. It is autographs.
Neat.
Nice.
I feel very special
Thank
right
you.
Now.
This is pretty
Look
cool.
At that. Oh, he's leaving the studio right now.
I'm very excited
to come
to
in
this.
And give these gifts to us. This is some real service right here. First class service. Thank you, Joe.
Look at, there you go, James.
Oh, this is really
James
great.
Got one?
Wow, the cover came out awesome. This is really neat. For the YouTube people, if you could see, look at this—the cover,
and it's hardback.
Yeah, it's really. This is
how it's done.
Me too.
I like how it doesn't have the paper cover part.
This feels substantial.
All solid like that.
If this is a real book.
Look at all the people on the back here.
I know. The list of the people you get to write a little blurb on the back of the book. Can I just read the names real quick of the
sure.
people?
Wow.
These are the names.
Can I just say this before you read these names?
For sure.
I want to thank this crew.
You should. Yeah, it's amazing.
And this crew also includes, because not everyone's on the book, the other stuff's on the website. Includes Michael Barkan, Ruben Amaro, Ben Davis, and James. Keep going.
Yeah, so these are just on the back of the book, the little blurbs. Brandon Graham, Sal Palantonio, Merrill Reese, Jason Kelsey, Ray Dinger, and Ron Jaworski. Yeah.
Oh, couldn't get any bigger names?
Right? I mean, you might have between BG and Kelsey the two most popular Eagles of all time. And with Merrill and Ray, maybe the two popular media members, Sal is a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaworski's Jaws. Like,
thanks, man.
This is so cool.
So let me thank
so
them because
cool.
I had them, look at various parts of the book. This wasn't just like, give me a quote. It was, I actually, when we did the event with Brandon Graham a couple months ago, he was looking through my book that night. I wasn't showing anyone else the book, but I said, hey, man, can you check this out? And, so I want to thank BG and Kelsey and the whole crew for their contribution there. And basically, it's a book. So backstory, I've said this once in the air, but let me say it again. Backstory is, 12 years ago, my nephew, who at the time was about 9 or 10 years old, I was stunned. It's not totally surprising, but for me in the moment, it felt surprising. He didn't know who Dr. J was. And he was a big sports fan. He was like 9 or 10 years old. I'm like, what? You know, Dr. J, how's that possible? So I set out to write a book for the kids, and it took over a decade. And when I say the kids, teenagers, young adults, I mean, on and on. Here's our crew. Here's Reggie White. Here's Brian Dawkins. Here's the 1980 Phillies. Here's the 1974 and 75 Flyers. Here's Will Chamberlain. You know, here's the 2024 Eagles. All right, well, you know that one. By the way, that's the longest chapter. Because once I got writing with that chapter, it's like, you know what? It doesn't have to be as short as the rest. I kind of kept going and going.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Is going through it, you really kept it tight with each
kept
thing. Like, there's a lot of...
I think
there's a great way to learn about Philly sports and learn a lot of different things that happened over history in a, like, a very manageable way. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. So I wanted to say... Here, I mean, that's why it's literally, and believe me, we went through, I mean, probably 50 titles of the book. But the reason we called it The Best of Philly Sports is that speaks to what the book is. It's the best of Philly sports. It's the top moments and stories in Philly sports history. Obviously, I was super proud to get the 24 Eagles in there. Delayed the book coming out a little bit because, John, they kept winning and winning. And me and the publisher
were
like,
how dare they?
Yeah, wow. Like, might have to push this book back a little bit.
Wow.
But I'm going to get it out. So a couple things to know. I'm going to get it out to stores myself. It's currently on Amazon for pre-order. I will tell you, full disclosure, I haven't promoted it much because I'm really frustrated that the Amazon website hasn't been properly updated. It's got some inaccurate information. So I'm waiting for Mr. and Mrs. Amazon to get that right. That's why I haven't pushed it.
They're a little busy. They're on their honeymoon.
Yeah, well,
I'll call Jeff Bezos. I'm on it. Don't worry.
So they get like the wrong number. Like it says on Amazon, it says for ages 8 to 14. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's also for a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old.
8 to 88,
I wanted to say like 10 plus.
Yeah.
Like you can read it to an 8-year-old or 7-year-old. I would say a 10-year-old can read it. An 11-year-old can read it. And obviously, it's going to work for the older folks as well because it'll either be a trip down memory lane for you or stuff even before you were born, like Steve Van Buren, Chuck Bednarik. And then there's also not just the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles, but I got the Big Five. And then I've got the other stuff. Like a lot of people might not know, when Will Chamberlain scored 100 points, that wasn't with the Sixers, that was with the Warriors. And then you got.
I bet you most people don't know that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And then Connie Mack, and then the Army-Navy game. And so I like the way it's
laid out, too.
Thank you, man.
With, like, each team, and you go through, instead of it being, like, I think it would have been more confusing if you had just done the history of Philly sports in order instead of segmenting each team's history. I think it's really well laid out.
Thanks, buddy. So it's primarily intended for younger sports fans, but I do feel pretty confident we'll work for adults.
It's a perfect size.
Well, I appreciate it.
I'm loving it. Just looking at each title, I'm just like flipping pages. And like each title, I'm like, oh, 4th and 26. Love that.
Right.
Oh, the 90s playoff victories. I remember those. Like,
this is
pretty cool, man.
Thank you, buddy. So there's a lot. Hopefully you enjoy and maybe learn. One thing I learned, Wilt and Moses had the same number of points in the Sixers have only won two titles. In the clinching game, they had the same number of points and rebounds.
Wow.
I never knew that, you know?
I feel honored.
Thanks,
and good job getting the... Good job getting the backward hurdle on the front. I feel honored because like Joe does this in real life, and I have been the beneficiary. And what I mean by that is I can remember going way back 2016 and you know, I hadn't paid attention to any sport other than football.
The college, one you made your career out
NFL,
of, yeah, right?
Yeah, college, NFL, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And I was dissuaded from even watching other stuff. Like, you don't have time. Like, you watching this stuff. So it was kind of like playing catch up. So I had like I had this
in real life form. Yeah.
Joe would do this. He would boil it down and basically give me crash courses. And it really was cool and helpful and always very concise. But like, I sat there thinking, you know, this guy could be. I'm the son of a teacher, like, this guy could be a great teacher, too.
Thank you.
You know, like, and I'm sure that comes through.
Well,
in this
all
book.
You have to do is listen to this show for any period of time and hear,
all
like,
right, enough of the nice
no,
things.
No, but last
right,
thing I'll say, right. Hear someone enough. Mention, like, a game in 1994, and Joe's like, oh, you mean the game where they won 30-27 and this yeah. happened and that? I mean, like, who yeah. better to write this book?
Thank you.
You know?
Well, yeah. remember, the Phillies didn't play in September of 94. That would be the strike.
It again.
But front cover, Bobby Clark, Dr. J, Saquon with the backwards leap, and Brad Lidge, and Carlos Ruiz, championship winning moment. So, again, you can get it. You can pre-order it right now. Pre-order it on Amazon. Just, you know, within Amazon's website, type in the best of Philly sports. It'll pop right on up there. And I'm going to get it in a lot of stores in the coming weeks and months. I'm going to get it down the shore as fast as I can to try to seize that market, obviously, in the next month and a half during the summer. And then, you know, a lot of events in the fall and the winter to meet people and promote the book. So I appreciate the kind words.
Congratulations.
From all of you.
It's
thank
awesome.
You. Thank
exciting.
You. And let's get Mr. and Mrs. Amazon to update the website, please. Because, you know, come on. I mean, what are we doing here? Let's go to phones. Announcements, by the way, related to Joe versus Jack in the athletic competition. We'll get to that shortly. Jay in Springfield right now. Jay, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great, Jay.
What's happening, Jay?
Hey, this is your first time calling here.
Thank you.
Here, Jay, I'm going to put you on hold because we're having a hard time hearing
not
you.
Not a great start to the
we'll
first call.
We'll get right back to you. Nick in Bucks County. Nick, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi,
Nick. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Let me top that.
Word.
There we go. Okay.
So, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, before we get started, my brother has a card collecting store in Ocean City, New Jersey. Flawless Cards and Collectibles. Be great to have your book in there.
I appreciate that. So those are the those are the kind of stores I'm talking about. Like, to me, the book stores, probably 1% of people in society go into them. I want to be in the hoagie shops. I want to be in the pharmacies. I want to be down the shore in 3 or 4 different spots at each shore point. What's the name of your brother's store?
Flawless Cards and Collectibles. I'll get James the contact information.
Thank you. That's exactly the kind of spot I want to be in. I appreciate that. What do you got on the Eagles, my man? They go to training camp in a couple hours.
I'm really excited about, you know, running it back and what we could do there, but a little bit nervous about that, about the safety spot. I'm wondering what you guys think about Justin Simmons still being out there.
I think they're going to take a look at training camp of what they got and
if they
pivot.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
They will. I mean, yeah. They'll do it. I mean, look how late they've gotten people over the past couple of years.
Yeah, Nick, one of the most notable, and they had to pay a little bit of a price for him, but they traded a couple of weeks before the season for Ronald Darby, 2017. That was corner. But I guess that was Zach Mills, and they probably didn't believe in Patrick Robinson at that stage. And so they said, let's go get Ronald Darby. I guess the fourth guy was Rasul Douglas. And so sometimes you assess what you got for a week or two or three, and if you don't like what you got to go get someone else.
Look, this would be amazing. This is an immediate upgrade, and of course it is the area we are weakest defensively right now. You look at the strong safety spot, and right now you got Sidney Brown, I think, is penciled in as the starter, and Andrew Makuba, who they just got signed, our second rounder, backing him up. And then, of course, the man that I've brought up many times, Louis Cine.
Cine. John, I think it the other way around. I would bet you Sidney Brown is the backup and Makuba's a starter. I mean, I don't know.
No.
But I'm just saying that would be my guess.
Makuba has to come in and actually prove himself, really set himself
apart. Well, day one,
apart.
Yeah. But I bet you...
As a rookie,
sure.
He really has to establish and prove that he can handle it.
I would guess Makuba gets that nod week one, but we'll see.
There is clearly a space for an all-pro level player like Justin Simmons.
Yep.
Yes, I would love the signing, and I think it's... you'll see him go to a Super Bowl contender. You'll see him go to one of these top teams.
Or someone that just pays him the most.
I think this guy just wants to win
while
getting paid.
Hey, Nick, give me a big answer, pal. Like that catcher's interference, what's a unique thing from sports?
I got a great one, but don't forget we also won a game on a wild pitch this year. This is a really wild season for us.
Yeah, that happens much more often, to say the least.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Just the combination of everything is pretty cool. But this will never happen again. It's very unique. He leads our team and the longest punt in history of the Eagles. Third longest punt in the history of the Eagles.
Good answer.
Randall Cunningham, baby.
Love it.
So am I just writing down like him, like his whole thing, or am I writing down the punt?
I think 91 yard punt. I think that's the most unique thing that he did, just in terms of compared to other quarterbacks.
I agree.
You know, yeah.
I'm with you, man. I mean, Randall, for those on the young side, if you don't know, he had a 91 yard punt in Giant Stadium, and it bounced past Dave Meggett, and then way
kept
past
on
him.
Going.
And the wind was wild.
Kick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know if that one was. They did use to quick with. I don't know if that one was, but they did quick with him a lot. They used to quick kick.
Meggett was on the field. It was not a quick kick. It was
Dad was the biggest fan of
quick
kick.
Was he set back at 12 to 15 yards?
Regular.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So he wasn't
correct.
Seven.
It was a fourth down punt. That's why Meggett was 50 yards back. But yes, Buddy used to have him kick sometimes on third down. Third and 20. No one's back to return it. He would just have Randall punt it. It was really interesting.
So effective.
Yeah, Buddy did that.
Very much a defensively minded head coach's tactic. But it worked.
Yeah. Third and 20, nah.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. All right. The athletic competition, me versus Jack. I know it's been a little dormant the last 2 weeks or so. We had some vacation mix in there. Kind of frustrating that it's been delayed like an extra week, but it is what it is. We had to kind of all get reconvened on everything. So
we're convened now?
Sort of.
Okay, good. There we go. Great.
So I've got three announcements for you. One of these announcements, many people at the station know about. Two of these announcements, I'm the only person at the station that knows about.
Whoa. Okay.
Our program director is probably driving to work listening now saying, what in like
this
the
sounds
hell?
Exactly like something you would do, like dropping
what
on us yesterday.
On?
Big fan of this.
That we're going to do a quarter century of every player at every position, like in the middle of the show.
Well, I want to keep you on your toes, Ray.
Thank you.
Me and Rhea, I just look at both of us are like furiously writing down names and positions the entire show.
Yes. All right. So, three announcements. Announcement number one. The challenge for me has gotten harder and injury has set in.
Oh, no.
All right. Because one of the things with this competition that led John and a lot of people to believe that Jack would win a twofold on my front. One, I'm 16 years older. Two, I'm injury susceptible.
Like Joel.
And
Joel, Karell Buchholter.
And that was Jody Mack's whole thing. He said he didn't expect five competitions to happen because he didn't expect it to finish for
so I think he had a different thing. I think his thing was there will be controversy and dispute over who won a competition. But anyway.
No, his thing was it wasn't going to finish.
Here's the deal. Announcement number one, an MRI has confirmed injury.
Oh, no.
So if you remember when I ran in baseball, I ran not so well. Whether it was in those moments of running to first base or a pre-existing situation that led me to look so ridiculous to running to first base, there is a little bit of an undetermined element of what is going on. Doctor's trying to figure it out. I was in his office for 3 hours yesterday.
Oh my God.
But it is
horrible.
Not the issue from 6 years ago. Which you might remember as
groin.
A groin tear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are some...
We all sadly remember the groin tear.
But, John, there is some tearing.
Tearing of what?
I'd have to look it up. We're trying to figure it all out. Know this. The psoas is being discussed. Most people that kind of stuff. So there also is a belief from the doctor that it may... Now, the next couple of weeks will determine this. May be a hip issue that with... Me not being like normally aligned is what leads to injury. Like I might not be properly aligned, and that might be why I get hurt so frequently. We're trying to figure that out. Know this.
You're saying you're put together poorly?
Yes. Yesterday, I had, ladies and gentlemen, to endure a big needle jammed into my groin area.
Oh, God. Not the first for you either.
Not the first. So announcement number one is there is an injury.
Is that cortisone? Like, what were you getting?
Some kind of something. Steroid, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's just, but shoot me up, doc! All right. And surgery may be
God.
Required.
Oh, no. Not again.
But we're trying to figure that out. All right. Announcement. And you hear about terms like the adductor. People know these terms.
Heard it.
The psoas, the hip. There's all sorts of stuff. There's also some belief of maybe some early arthritis.
Oh, God.
Right? All right. That's announcement number one. Announcement number two.
I wish people could see John Renji's face right now. I mean, on YouTube, I guess you can.
Well, this is why John felt, part of why I felt so confident Jack would win.
His face is, that is like the exact, if I could have painted what I thought his face would look like after that announcement, it's that.
All right, announcement number two. I will not back out of this competition.
Listen.
I cannot, for instance, support someone like Lane Johnson, who years ago something to play in a Super Bowl. The tough guys of the world, the tough ones.
Hammer.
I'm going on.
That's what you do.
As Celine Dion said, my heart will go on.
That is damn impressive.
Now my body might not go on, but my heart will. At least
wow.
That's
well. Shut his hole.
At least I will try.
That
at least
song,
I
my
will
heart
try
will go
to.
On.
Yes.
Didn't that end in a?
Well, she lived, but he died.
Jack died. Let's just say, Jack. I'm just throwing that out there at the end of Titanic.
Look at that.
Just saying.
I'm not wishing death on Jack.
Yeah, that's right.
I am
going to stay in the. Okay. You know how much I'll be able to compete realistically in the run. I'm not sure, honestly. But like tennis and basketball, I'm in it to win it. So I ain't backing out off, and I'm not backing down.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
Thank you.
This is some tough stuff.
And if it is determined that surgery is necessary, I will delay it until after this. That's announcement number two.
This is a great job, buddy.
We got something to win here.
How did you do this?
Do what?
How did you suffer this injury?
What is the surgery?
Running, apparently.
Well, we don't know, John. We don't know. It could be the hip. So what they're trying to do right now is figure out if it's non-hip. Muscle stuff, psoas, other stuff. And then if they feel it's not that, then it could be the hip. And this is what we're trying to drill down on. All right, announcement number three. With the show going on, the competition resumes Tuesday of next week.
Let's go!
We can announce that Tuesday will be tennis. Me and Jack, tennis at high noon at FDR Park.
At the lakes.
Yes.
Love
be
it.
There or be square. FDR Park, Tuesday, tennis, which I hope to go up 2-1. And look, obviously, Jack is now going to be an even bigger betting favorite. That is obvious. You know, we'll see what happens. But the reality is, tennis is next Tuesday. I would encourage you to be there if you can. And so, but that
so
obviously
this
is the,
sounds
is this,
like,
this, go ahead, John.
I mean, what we're talking about is, again, like core muscle
that
stuff.
That sort of stuff,
so you've
yes.
gone, like we could technically say you've gone and herniated yourself again.
Something has occurred. Something. We're trying to figure out what the something is.
And are you sure it's wise to continue?
No, well, I'm sure that it's not wise to continue.
Right.
But if you want to be a champion, you have to play.
So is that
you have to?
Is that what the doctor said?
Listen,
I mean, I am concerned. Honestly, I am concerned
that.
For your sake. If you've got like torn stuff going
something's not right.
Then. I don't know. Maybe it's not the best idea to be trying to, like,
look, I appreciate
back and forth, like, lateral agility tennis time.
I appreciate you saying, I really do appreciate you saying that. The bottom line is that I'm in this to try to win it. And so I'm pushing on. And that's what it is. And that's where we're at. So, announcement one, MRI confirms injury, exact nature to be determined. Announcement number two, I stay in the fight. Announcement number three, tennis on Tuesday, FDR Park at noon. All right, there you go.